are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
All right, welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We're recording this on Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. I'm Josh Bennett here for tonight's podcast with special guest Hoosier infielder Cooper Trinkle. Tonight's panel includes stats guru Cassidy Palmer, master of the RPI Carl James, and the man who's finally back on the podcast weekly, the one and only Chris Feeney. So now Chris will bring us up to date with the Hoosier highlights.
Thanks, Josh. And it is good to be back weekly, I got to say. We definitely counted every person in Bloomington with the census over the past 6 weeks. So I'm done counting people and I can do evening podcasts again. For the Hoosier highlights, we had some fall ball stats get put out by Denton Sagerman yesterday. Kip Fugers was our exit velocity leader at 110.8 miles an hour, and that was at a 362-foot bomb. Cole Barr, 109 miles per hour on a 392-foot bomb. And probably the most impressive one, Jacob Southern, a grad transfer, 108.4 miles per hour exit velocity, 440-foot bomb. So you could see the list of the top 10 for those stats on Denton's Twitter account. He also put out the top fastball velocities and spin rates. McCade Brown, heat sheet material, like Aaron Fitz says, 96.6 miles an hour. And the RPM, that spin, 2,602, 2,602. That's a major league level. Matt Litwicki, another heat sheet, 96 mile an hour, 2,406 RPM. And coming in third, David Platt, 94.2 miles an hour, 2,429 RPM. And again, he listed all top 10. You could check that out on Denton's Twitter account if you want to check out some of the analytical stuff. And as always, I'm glad Denton is on our side. The stuff he comes up with is just amazing. And he sends out the photos. He's a great follow on Twitter. Check his account out. And as far as our alumni highlights, Aaron Sleggers with an ALCS to be remembered. Okay. He pitched in three games. He had a five innings, 1.80 ERA, three strikeouts. They had him going up against the heart of the Houston order. He got Altuve twice. He got Bregman twice. He got Correa twice. And somehow he didn't make the World Series roster. It's unfortunate. As we speak here, as we're recording, Tampa's up 1-0 in the first inning, and they're down a game to LA. It's a shame. It's disappointing that Aaron's not on the roster. There is a chance he could get added if an injury occurs. Depends when you listen to this, you know, what's going to happen. But a great postseason for Aaron Sleggers. It was great to watch. He's got a big career, I feel, out of the pen, man. He's a big piece. Oh, man, I was so upset they didn't put him on that roster. But what can you do, right? It's the breaks. It's a business. They made a choice with the extra days off to take some more position players. But Aaron, great job. And we're going to kick it over to Cass for some stats for our special guest, Cooper Trinkle.
Hey, thank you, Chris. And looking at Cooper's stats, I looked a little bit at summer ball, at his stats from John A. Logan and from the shortened 2020 season. And the first thing that stood out to me across all three of those was walks to strikeouts. In summer ball, he had 13 walks compared to 14 strikeouts. That's a pretty good number, especially when you're looking at a very small number of plate appearances. At John A. Logan, he actually walked more times than he struck out, 33 to 20. And those 33 walks, that was 20% of his total plate appearances. That is pretty nuts and probably is what helped lead to a 5.25 on base percentage. That's also pretty nuts. And in the shortened 2020 season, he had three walks compared to four strikeouts. Anytime you can see those walks pretty well matching or even outpacing the strikeouts, that is something we absolutely love to see. Additionally, at John A. Logan, Cooper hit 368, and in the shortened 2020 season at IU, again, you're looking at small numbers, not a lot of games, but hit 281 in the shortened 2020 season. So, Cooper, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Cooper. Well, the Republic named you its Baseball Player of the Year in 2017. And you got to spend the season playing with your brother Grant at Columbus North. What are some of your favorite memories of that regional title winning season?
Yeah, that was probably my favorite year of baseball I've ever gotten to play. You know, we had a group of six or seven seniors that had played together for a while. And so us kind of getting to lead that team, as well as having my younger brother who we'd talked about getting to play together, and he made the varsity team that year as a freshman. So getting to play together that year was so much fun. I'd say my favorite memories from, man, there's so many. I would say my favorite, I hit a home run in the regional title, title game that kind of sealed it. And that was the first regional that Columbus North had won in since like 1970 something. So it was really cool for not only our program, but also really cool for that group of six, seven seniors, plus Grant's my little brother, but he, growing up, he was always friends with all of us. And so he tagged along everywhere. So he was kind of like the little brother to all of us. So, you know, it was really, really, it meant a lot to that group of guys.
All right. So Cooper, you were voted by the IHSA coaches to the 4A All-State first team shortstop in 2016. Then in 2017, your first team at second base. So which is your favorite position of those two?
You know, I don't really have a favorite between the two. They're both different in different ways. At shortstop, you're kind of the captain of the infield. You get to take charge a little more. But then at second base, there's more plays that are like that are unique to that position, like kind of the turning the double play. You also have a lot more time at second base, so makes it a little bit easier of a position. But I don't really have a favorite position between the two of them. To be honest, I like both of them a lot.
You use a different glove for each position, or is it basically the same?
No, I don't use a different glove for each position. I'm a big glove guy. I get a new one every year, and I take a lot of pride in making sure I have – trying to find the coolest-looking glove I can have for that individual year. But, no, I don't use a different position for each – or use a different glove for each position.
Okay. We've had a lot of guys come through the JUCO route to Bloomington, and specifically lately from John A. Logan. You know, everybody knows Logan Kalatha, Tanner Gordon. What is it about that? What's it about playing there that seems so special? We hear from everybody that comes over.
Man, I don't know. If my senior year is my favorite year of baseball, that was a close second. Just because, you know, playing at John A., you live with all the guys. We all lived in one apartment complex, so 40 guys living in basically right next to each other. Everybody keeps the doors unlocked. It's one giant family.
But you weren't in a bubble, but you were together.
Yeah. We were. Okay. but no, like this, honestly, schoolwork at junior college isn't necessarily the hardest thing. So you spend a lot of time playing baseball, and you spend a lot of time at the baseball field. You get there at 11, 12 o'clock every day. You don't leave till 5 or 6, and you go lift with everybody. So they're long days, but the guys make it, you know, you're with 40 of your best friends all the time. Then you leave weights and you go home and you're all there together again. So I'm building that bond with all those guys. Like I still stay in touch with all the guys a lot of the guys that I played with at John A. And, you know, those are bonds that I'll never forget. And then Coach Soup he's a great dude. He's very demanding, but he's also the same guy that, like, you know, you're having a tough day, he's the first one there to pick you up. And, you know, he was one of my favorite coaches I've ever had. So between the two of those things, the bonds you built and Coach Soup, like my little brother is playing there right now and he loves it as well. So I mean, John A. Logan, I can't say enough good things about it.
I can't say enough good things about his choice switch there for your brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What happened? Well, we don't want to get into his business, but I'm glad he left his decision and he's with John A. now. So that's good. We don't have to root against him in any form with Kentucky.
Absolutely.
That works out very well. I was going to ask, you mentioned Coach Stoop, and from what I understand, he is no-nonsense guy. He's very strict. But what did you learn the most from playing for him?
I would say the two biggest things I learned from him, one, I learned a ton about infield play from him. I got so much better defensively after my freshman year. I wasn't a great infielder. And you know, we did a ton of work with the infield, all kinds of different, just little drills and things like that, that he really helped me improve my defense with, as well as he was so good at being able to, when you're down, being able to be like, hey, everything's okay. Focus on the next pitch. You know, you make an error. Oh, okay. It's fine. It's over with. But now we need you to do this. Or you have a tough at bat, same deal. Like, you're going to get another at bat in two innings. You need to get rid of that, flush it. And he just taught me a lot mentally that I'll really take with me forever.
Awesome. He's a big supporter of you guys too. Specifically when you committed, I got in touch with him. I had already been in touch with him, you know, with Gordon was there and stuff. He was sending me pictures of you to use for the website and really was really happy for your commitment to IU.
Yeah, he really cares a lot. He cares a lot about his players, which is another thing that I loved about him.
Seemed real genuine too. It really did. He was like, whatever you want. I got him hitting. I got him in the field. Like, it was really cool.
Yeah.
He seemed like a good dude. And as far as the JUCO life or, you know, going to play JUCO, what would you say, like, if somebody's watching this or is considering going the JUCO route, what was something you might say to them as far as a piece of advice?
I would say that for guys that, you know, not everybody, like, I was one of them coming out of high school. I wasn't a very high recruit. I only had one Division I offer. But I was so stuck on, I want to go D1. Like, my goal of my whole life had been, I want to go play Division I baseball. But I didn't realize how junior college baseball can really expand your opportunities. Like, coming out of junior college, I got recruited by schools I never thought I'd be at IU. But coming out of JUCO, like, that was a possibility for me, or an opportunity. So I would just tell guys that, like, you know, going, if your goal is to play Division I baseball and you aren't necessarily like, you're a late bloomer, you don't necessarily have the opportunities out of high school that you want, junior college is absolutely a huge, it's not even just a stepping stone. It's a launch pad, you know, for guys. 'Cause you have 2 years, you can get better. Your body changes. You get, like, I gained a lot of weight. I gained a lot of strength in my year at junior college. So yeah, like I said, it's a huge launch pad for guys to expand the opportunities that they didn't have in high school.
And did you notice any big differences coming from junior college to a D1 program on or off the field?
Yeah, definitely at the Division I level, there's more eyes on you. You can't get away with nearly as much, and things are a lot more strict as far as like here we have with the Adidas contract, like, you got to wear Adidas everywhere there. You know, you show up in whatever shorts you want and Johnny Logan t-shirt, and that's what you practice in. But here it's like, you know, you wear this shirt on this day and this shirt on this day. So it's a lot more strict in, like, kind of the little things, but still baseball. You still show up every single day and, you know, you work your butt off to get better.
Cool. So you were originally going to play summer ball with the Lafayette Aviators, but 2020, things haven't really gone according to plan at all in anything. How did you like the Grand Park Summer League this year?
I loved it. You know, being from, you know, an hour from Grand Park, growing up, or in high school, I played at Grand Park quite a bit, and I actually ended up working up there this summer at bullpen tournaments, and I absolutely loved it. But the Grand Park Summer League was a great league. Like, it was awesome. That I think my favorite part was growing up, like, playing travel ball in the state. Like, we played against you played against guys from all over the state. And then now it was super cool to like come back and play against your buddies who play at Louisville or play at Ohio State. So it was kind of like that high school summer ball feel where we're playing against the guys I've played against since I was 12. But you know, grown up.
And was it difficult to adjust to the long layoff?
Kind of, sort of. At first it was a little different. But I wouldn't say it was a huge adjustment just because I was still able to work out, still able to lift, still able to see live pitching over the quarantine. I was able to, like, cause I live with my younger, obviously live with my younger brother and he was training. And then I had two other buddies that, that basically lived with us as well. So we trained every day. We had access to stuff. So it wasn't a huge adjustment, but getting back into playing, you know, 9 innings a day, that was a little bit difficult at first, but it was a blast. I love the Grand Park Summer League.
I've heard some people analyze that this summer has been kind of like an opportunity to show what you couldn't show in the spring. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also thought it was this spring, you know, we only got to play 15 games. So it kind of gave you a little bit of a, you know, it showed you what you needed to improve upon going into the summer. And then you had almost another off season to work on it. So there were things that, you know, I didn't feel like I did super well in the spring that I was able to go work on for 3 months and then try them out in the summer. And it wasn't like the summer was a huge pressure situation. So you were able to try things and, you know, see if you could input certain things into the game. So that was something that I really thought was cool.
Well, your defense at shortstop stood out many times in the summer. So did your speed on the bases. That was, you know, we didn't get a ton of opportunity to see you in 2020 in the spring. So has taking the extra base been a part of your game in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no secret about it. I'm not a very big guy. So kind of like Cassie talked about earlier, taking my walks, like my job when I go up to the plate is to get on base, whether that be getting a hit or walking or taking an HBP, my job is to get my speed on the bases, because then once I can get on the bases, then I become a dangerous threat. So that's a big part of my offensive game, is I just want to get on base and then I want to apply pressure.
So what does a player do to become a better base runner over the course of a career?
It's experience, I would say. The more you have, you know, reading guys, reading pitchers, Coach Mercer does honestly a really, really good job of teaching base running here. And there were a few different nuances of base running that I was able to apply this summer that helped me more than I ever have before. And also Cole Barr, who I played summer ball with Cole in high school. He was on my team this summer and he's also one of my roommates, but he's one of the best base runners I've ever played with. And he's taught me a lot as far as base running is concerned. So it's just footwork, speed, and then experience, as far as just the more you're on base, the better you can get.
You definitely seem to get a lot of base running experience in that summer league, man. and especially working with Cole, I feel like every game I saw, whether it was at Grand Park or at Victory Field, one of you guys was always on base, or one of you guys was always getting a hit. And your energy, whether it was in the dugout or on the field, I guess because we didn't get to see enough games at the BART, then maybe I didn't pick that up. But you're a real spark plug in that dugout, energy guy, right?
Yeah, I pride myself in that. You know, I love the game of baseball. So every day I get to show up. You know, if I don't bring energy, I'm not the player that I can or should be. So that's something that I feel like I bring to a team that, you know, it's not a physical characteristic or a tool, but it's something that, like, if I can bring positive energy and other people can feed off it, then, you know, our team's going to be better because of it.
I could tell you, just from a regular guy in the stands, it was very noticeable, whatever field we saw you guys on. One thing I wanted to bring up, too, lead off at bat at the Vic, you got hit right in the head. It looked dangerous, I got to say. And when I talked to you after the game, you were like, I couldn't get my team depressed and not run to first. Right. You bounced right up and went, and then you were like stealing bases.
Yeah. No, it was actually a funny story behind that. The guy that hit me was Baden Root. He's from Ohio State, but he's one of my really good friends. And so I was giving him crap before the game, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to take you deep first pitch. Or I'm taking, yeah, yeah. And then he drills me in the head. And
right in the noggin, man. And that was rough.
And it not only, like, it rung my bell a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. And I didn't want, like, not only did I not want my team to be like, oh dang, like Cooper got hurt first pitch, I also didn't want Baden to be like, to feel bad that he just drilled me. Even though he was on the other team, like I knew he felt bad about it. So I was like, you know what? I'm fine, but I'm going to steal this base on you, Baden.
And you did.
Exactly.
You know what it might've been too, man, that the stadium was all COVID, not a lot of people are in the building, and it's a cavernous, it's a big stadium. So maybe the ball just hitting that helmet sounded extra loud. I did not think you were getting up, man.
It honestly wasn't too bad. Getting hit in the head's really not that bad because you got the helmet on. As long as you don't get hit right in the ear hole, it's really not that bad.
Just sounds bad. The next stuff we wanted to talk about during the quarantine, we saw a lot of clips from you from PRP Baseball. It seemed like you even got some live ABs against some of our alumni and stuff like that. How did you get associated with them?
So PRP Baseball, the guy that owns it, runs it, is Greg Vogt. I actually played travel ball for him when I was 14. So we've been – he's helped me out ever since, I played for him. But, his PRP business, the facility, they host live ABs all throughout the summer. And really all throughout the winter as well. Like, I'll be there this winter taking live ABs. And, I love going there just because the more at bats you can get, the better you can get. Like, there's nothing that substitutes live pitching. So at PRP, like, I'd go there for a day and I'd get 15 at bats against, 10 different pro arms. I got to face Paulie. I got to face Timmy Heron. And, those guys are, they're really good. Paulie, they actually both had great summers. By the end of the summer, they were both into the mid 90s with just devastating off speed stuff. So getting to face them was really cool. And it really tested me as far as making me better.
Paulie throws that heavy ball, right?
Oh yeah. Heavy sink. And at the beginning of the summer, he was only like 90 to 92. And by the end of the summer, he was like 93, 96. So
really?
Yeah,
he wasn't that at the BART.
No, I know, and he's gotten a lot better. Yeah, so both of those guys. Same with Timmy. Timmy throws, he's been. I think he was up to 95 this summer, and from that big left-handed arm slide, it's like you don't see it until it's on top of you.
Yeah, he hides it real well, right? Mm-hmm. His velo went up in the minors. Even his previous minor league season, his ERA was zero for a few months, and they moved him up. His velo was getting high even in the minor leagues.
Yeah, he's a really tough at bat.
Yeah, it did not seem easy. And what do you work on the most while you're there? It sounds like it's mostly hitting, but is there a technique? Is there something you focus on most while you're there?
No, not necessarily. See, I don't do my training there. I do my training at a different facility that's a little closer to home. That's more of kind of like game day in the off season. Like you go to PRP, you get your 15 at bats, and you see how you are, what you've been working on translates to live pitching, and then you can go work on it for the week and work on whatever you need to work on that wasn't great, or if it was good, continue to work on that. It's more of kind of game day. But with that being said, it's a full 100 yard by 70 yard turf space. So after all the live AB stuff, there's one of their hitting trainers would work defensive stuff with us just because we'd have full turf field and somebody hit fungos. So we'd get 45 minutes or an hour's worth of defensive work while I was there as well.
Good deal, man. Thanks.
So Cooper, kind of switching gears here away from the athlete side of student athlete and onto the real reason you're there, being a student, getting that degree. How are classes going this semester?
Oh, they're not too bad. I actually enjoy the online classes more than I like you know, the actual going to class. Actually, going to class is a little tougher here, especially compared to John A. At John A, you drive 2 minutes and you park in the front row and you walk into class, and that's how it is. And so when I came here, the first day of classes, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, where's my class? All right, I'm sure I can go park down there. So I drive down there and no parking.
Oh, nice.
And so like, that's, it takes probably 30 minutes to get to class here. And I'm also one that, like, with the online classes, like, if I can, I just have whatever task I need to get done and I can get it done. And that's what I need for the day. Whereas in class, you got to go there, you got to, you know, hang out for 45 minutes and an hour, and they lecture you, they tell you all your stuff. And then there's kind of some wasted time in there, where the online classes, like, you get your lecture, you have your homework assignment, you do it, you're done. So I like that. And it helps, because the quicker I can get my schoolwork done, the quicker I can also get to baseball and get some baseball work done. So I enjoy the baseball work a little more.
So what's your major?
I'm a sports marketing and major and management major. And I also am getting a minor from, or minor in business foundations.
So when baseball is finally done, wherever that may be, what are your plans for the future?
I'm not exactly sure. There's a lot of different avenues that I could think about going into. Part of me wants to be a college coach. Part of me wants to work in, like I loved working at Bullpen this summer. They run tournaments, and also they, the same people run PBR Indiana. And I loved the scouting part. I actually got to do some scouting work this summer, so I loved that. I want to work something in baseball, but I'm not exactly sure what I want to do. But I do know I want to stay in baseball.
And I guess looking at the 2021 season coming up, do you have any particular personal or team goals for the season?
So, no, I don't have any personal goals. You never know how the season's going to turn out. But our team knows one thing, and it's that – we want to end this season in Omaha, and we want to make a push to host a regional and win a super regional and make it to Omaha. And we think we have the talent to do it. You know, we have a really deep lineup, a lot of great hitters. And we also have a lot of great pitchers as well that are just get better and better every week. So, you know, we think we have a chance to make a deep run this year.
All right, Cooper, we really appreciate you sharing some time with us this evening and giving us some stories. So that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Read up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUatTheBart and at iubase17. On Instagram, iubase, and subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, featuring these video podcasts, summer league game clips, game day media availabilities, and much more. So for Carl James, Chris Feeney, Cassidy Palmer, and Cooper Trinkle, I'm Josh Bennett. We'll see you at the bar. Hey, baby,